Generally, I have somebody pray for me, and I want to pray for y'all this morning. And so if just get in a posture where you can hear and receive what I'm about to pray for you, because I believe over the course of the next 3 weeks, your life will be changed for the better. And so I'd really encourage you not to miss a Sunday in November as we're talking about the lifestyle of thankfulness. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, I thank you that positionally in you, we are blessed. Not because of what we have, but because of who we are. Lord, I thank you for every single person who is here this morning, whether they want to be or not, whether they'd rather be in their bed, cozy and warm on this cold November morning, or whether they're ecstatic in their soul and they don't know why. I know that you are God. And so, Lord, I ask that you would speak profoundly and specifically to each and every single soul represented here this morning and their families. In Christ's name I pray. Amen. I don't know about you, but I love memes. And how many of you have been in the store or any store recently and saw Christmas stuff up? Raise your hand, right? Isn't that absurd? Like, it wasn't even Halloween yet, and the Christmas store was up in the mall. I went into Home Depot the other day to get some tape, and all the Christmas stuff was still there. Thank you, Haywood. Appreciate it. And so this is how I feel in most of the time. I love Christmas. And honest, if I'm honest, like, I secretly listen to Christmas music all through the whole month of November. I'm that guy. But I also feel like oftentimes that this season gets overlooked, especially here in America. We have so much to be thankful for. We are ridiculously blessed, and that we overlook it most of the time. And so this meme spoke to me. I don't know if you can see this, but it says, December, fat boy, this is my month. Now hop in your sleigh and wait your turn. How many of you feel that way? Come on. All right. About half of you are honest. And so this one just spoke to me this morning. But we're talking about this season. We're going to be talking about the lifestyle of thankfulness. And so this one, I came across this one. It says, I'd just like to thank my legs for supporting me, my arms for always being by my side, and my fingers that I could always count on them. For all of you who love puns, this one's for you. You just Google it. You can find this. If you want to post it, it's all up to you. But this is often, right? This one, we get a little bit into the heart of, I'm so blessed because of what I have. We'll keep going. Maybe some of you feel this way. I was this close to saying good morning, then I remembered that some of y'all don't say it back. You feel that way? You know, hold the door for somebody. You know, my parents, I think, raised me right. Like, you open the door for people. That's just what you do. But when somebody, you open the door for somebody and they walk by and they walk in, they don't say thank you, all of that thankfulness, all that, like, good stuff that's in your heart goes out the window. You're not going to say thank you? My wife and I were just talking about this the other day. Like, we have ingrained in us that if you're walking on the sidewalk and somebody's coming out of the way, coming the other way, you kind of move over and let them go. But that is not the New Yorker way. The New Yorker way is you just keep walking. If the other person doesn't move, somebody's running into each other. We're really playing chicken. That's what we do here. So some of us, our circumstances really dictate how thankful we are, right? Does that speak to you? All right, I'll keep going. I know that hurt a little. Maybe this one. We brag about all the stuff we have, hashtag blessed. See this all the time, right? It's okay to laugh. It's all right, right? Hashtag blessed. Look at my cute one, hashtag blessed. Look at my new purse, hashtag blessed. Look at my cute boyfriend, hashtag blessed. Look at my cute girlfriend, hashtag blessed. I don't think we understand the word. I don't think we're using this word correctly. Because in my mind, this is reality. In Jesus, blessed is not what you have, it's who you are. It's not what you have, it's who you are. It's a state. And in order for us to be thankful, we have to understand this one. I don't think we can fully understand gratitude, which is that sensation in your stomach, your core, of being grateful for what you have. That's a sensation. Blessed is a state. Grateful is a sensation. Thankful is what we say with our mouth. And we're going to be talking about those things all through this series. And so this morning we're talking about our lifestyle of thankfulness, blessed. And so if you would, open up your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. It actually starts on page 96, but 946 in the Pew Bibles in front of you, but most of it's in 947. So if you don't have a Bible with you, we've provided one in front of you, 947. Look at the bottom of 946. If you have an app on your phone, that's great. And I did want to say this. We have stuff up here for the kids that, to draw on during worship. You may have not noticed, but in your pew, there are sketch pads and stuff. If you're an artsy kind of person, we'd really like you to engage in what you're good at. And so if you want to doodle and draw while we're talking this morning about what's happening in your soul, we'd really encourage you to do so. We finally have our bulletin board up in the new wing. And please, when you're done, we want to post them there so we can see what the embodiment of what's taking place. But Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 1, I'm going to read the first 14 verses, then we're going to talk about it, and then I'm going to read the next set of verses, and we're going to talk about it this morning. So Ephesians 1, starting in verse 1, this is the introduction of verses 1 and 2. It says, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, praise be the God of our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given in us in the one he loves. Verse 7. In him we have redemption through his blood for the forgiveness of sin, in accordance with the riches of his glorious of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ to be put into effect when the times reached their fulfillment, to bring unity to all things in heaven and on earth under Christ. In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to put our hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, when you believed. You were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the day of redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. I just want to stop there for a second, and maybe you miss some of those. Maybe you've read this before. Maybe this is the first time you've ever read it before. There's kind of seven key characteristics in here that I see in regards to the fact that you are blessed if you have a relationship with Jesus. And I want to highlight verse 3 to start off, because I really see this as the foundation for everything that comes forward. All right? Praise be God. Give him praise, worship him, adore him, tell him how great he is, because he has blessed you in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing. I just want to break that down. Blessed here is consecrated, bestowed upon. There's something has shifted or changed when you come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a spiritual blessing, this invocation of blessing, a benediction. You have been declared blessed. When you have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you are declared blessed. Therefore, it is a state. And so if we were to tweak my beginning phrase, it's not what you have, it's who you are. It is also what you have, which is Jesus. But we want to put it in things and the stuff when we're having a good day. Because when we're having a good day, somehow God has blessed us. And we're having a bad day, somehow he has walked away from us. And that is not truth. Let's continue. You were chosen. And just so you know, theologians have debated this for years, and they will continue to debate it. Twice in this passage of Scripture it says chosen, once it says predestined. The reality is God knows, right? He's God. He's bigger than all of us. Some believe that each individual that comes in relationship with Jesus Christ was chosen by God, and all those who didn't, God didn't choose them. That's not necessarily where I stand. I believe that God, in his infinite wisdom, who said, I came to die for all, when he's talking about here is, I came to die for all, willingly and understanding that some would not choose him. Yet he did it anyways. And I think that's ridiculously awesome. So when it says here, chosen, before the foundation of the world, before he even created everything, he saw your face and he knew you. And even if you didn't choose him, he would have died anyways. And to me, that is, because if it was up to me, y'all dead. I'm just saying. Some of you, you know, we could get coffee. In love, you were adopted. This was his will. He chose you. And this is just so cool. Like in the Greek culture here, oftentimes your physical children would not survive. All people died and all this different kind of stuff. So oftentimes you would have to choose an heir, to take your family name and move forward. You were chosen to be that heir, and so Jesus literally chooses you to be his son or daughter. All right, I'll keep going. Some of you, it's not landing yet. I don't know if you need more coffee. I need to do some cartwheels, what? But by the time we're done, I'm hoping you get this. Grace, it was freely. Not anything that you, there's nothing you could have done. I was having a conversation with somebody this week, and we were talking about belief systems. And I just cannot get over the fact that every single belief system out on planet Earth has to do with something that I do. Or I choose, like I have to choose to be good, or I have to choose to do whatever. This is the only belief system that I know of, prove me wrong, have a conversation with me, let's sit down and have a cup of coffee, where God chose to do something for you. That it's not up to you, it's up to God. It's the only one I know of, and if there's another one, let's have a conversation about it. But this is the only belief system that I know of where God chose you. Chose you. Freely, it's freely given. 4, redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Literally, redeemed, bought with a price. If you were standing before the great judge, everything about you would say, not good enough, and he steps in and takes your place. He redeems you. He takes you out. Whatever illustration you need there, go with it. You have been chosen, redeemed, forgiven. Past, present, and future. Every act of acting out your sin nature, God died for all of it. Whether it happened yesterday, today, or tomorrow. And that will not change your relationship with him. It won't. It will change maybe what you receive personally because of what the enemy does, but it won't change positionally who you are. Wisdom and understanding the mystery of Jesus. This is what he's given us. The mystery that Jesus was the Son of God who came into the world to die for you and for me. We get to experience that. Those of us who come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we get to believe, we get to hear, we get to comprehend this mystery that apart from Jesus, the world is baffled. He goes on. Sealed with the Holy Spirit, deposited in your soul. the mark of the Holy Spirit. We'll talk more about this, but I for the longest time, I had this concept that it's all right when anything bad happened, it's all right. God still sits on the throne. He's still in control. I don't need to worry about it. That shift for me last year, and I'm going to highlight that in a second. But you are sealed. You are marked with the Holy Spirit. You have a soul tattoo that says, I am a son of or a daughter of God. So in the spirit realm, everybody in the spirit realm knows that you are God's. All right, I'll keep going. Well, we'll get there, I'm telling you. An inheritance. And I think sometimes we go, we've explained this incorrectly. Those who have been in Christianity for a while, those who have received Jesus, we explain this incorrectly. We've sold the world on the fact that Jesus died so we could be with God in heaven. And that's only part of it. It's awesome, but that's only part of it. He didn't just die so he could seal you with the Holy Spirit so that you could have an inheritance. He died and sealed you so that you could have an inheritance and he'd be with you now. Jesus numerous times said, the kingdom of God has come to earth. It's not just about what happens after you die. It's the hope that you have today. Two weeks ago, several of the staff went to district conference, and we got to hear from Rich Volotis, who's the pastor of New Life Fellowship in Queens. And Rich told the story that broke me. I've said a lot that I believe that God is constantly speaking, and I believe that. And there's moments and times where it seems like he's silent. And I've said numerous times, even when he seems silent, he's still speaking. And Rich broke this for me. He said he was coming off a sabbatical where he spent like the whole summer going to monasteries and sitting quietly and reflecting with God, which is really, really difficult for me. This is an art that will take me one day longer than eternity to figure out. And but he's coming off of that, and he's got, his framework is Jesus is with me, he's present. And he took his son to school. Apparently, it was National Dad Take Your Kid to School Day. And I didn't even know that was a thing. I take my kids to school every day because I'm better than most dads. Just kidding. Hashtag prideful. No. I know that my life as a pastor is busy. I never want my kids to think that the church is more important than them. Because it's not. I love you guys, but you're not more important than who they are. So I get my butt out of bed and I drive my boys to school every day. Half the time I'm thankful that we made it back because I'm half asleep. But I get 5 minutes in the car with my boys every single morning. And the last thing they hear out of my mouth is a prayer for their day. I don't do it because I'm a great dad. I do it because I want them to know that I love them and I care about them. And they are way more important than you. I love you guys, but they're way more important than you. And so Rich is having this take his kid to school day. Sorry, I got sidetracked there. Take his kid to school day. So he's in, he drops his kid off at kindergarten. They walk in together. They invite all the dads in, and dads are doing presentations and all these different things. And he didn't have one, so he's feeling all stupid, like, I'm supposed to have a presentation. Why didn't somebody tell me? He looks over at his kid, and his kid is just sitting there on the desk like this, smiling at his dad. And he's looking at him. He's like, why is my kid a creeper? Like, what's, dude, stop staring at me. He's like trying to get the kid's attention, to like pay attention to what's going on. And his kid is not swayed. He's staring at his dad. And it clicked for Rich, and he said, my son was beholding me. So I said, screw it. And I just sat there, and I beheld my child. And we just sat there beholding one another. And then he said, maybe some of the most profound words I've ever heard. When the God of the universe seems silent to you, he's really just beholding you. Let me say that a second time. These are not my words. These are his. So don't quote me. Those of you who tweet this stuff out, this was Rich. When God seems silent, he's beholding you. He's staring at you going, that's my son or daughter. And I think for some of us, we go, that's great. Stop beholding me. Get off your butt and come and walk with me. All right, the rest of this passage in my mind is for you. So open your Bibles back up to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 15 to 23 here at the end, 15 to 23. It says, for this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all of God's people, I have not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you can know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength that he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at the right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rulers, authority, power, and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Let me just flesh this out because maybe you missed some of the amazing nuances that are in this section here. Paul's excited about those in Ephesus who too have come to a knowledge of Jesus. I keep praying for you. I'm thankful that you have now got it too. I'm thankful that you came to the understanding that Jesus died for you, he loves you, he chose you, all the seven things that he just said, because we can choose not to as well. His prayer is that God would give you wisdom and revelation to know him better. So all that stuff that we just talked about, we can know it, and 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 we can know it. And he's praying for them that it's not just here, that it makes it down to here. And I know that because the next section says, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance for all his holy people. And maybe you didn't know that your heart had eyes and you're confused. So let me just break this out. The heart here is the seat of the spiritual life. It's the seat of the physical life. It's not necessarily talking about the heart that pumps. It's talking about your soul, your passions, your desires, your thoughts. That the core of you would understand what it means to have Jesus in your life. That it wouldn't just be words on a page that we quote. How many times have you seen a movie, a TV show, or something online where somebody quotes a passage of scripture and the person next to them goes, oh yeah, that's Mark chapter 5, 35. You can know the address and not know what it says. You may have heard John 3:16, and it can be up here, but it's a very different thing when you know it here. The God who is rich in mercy gave his son for you and for me to literally transform your life, to change your position from lost to found, to change your position from blind to seeing, to change your position from maybe experiencing blessing to having a position of blessed. They are very different things. The Lord wants you to be blessed. And so Paul is praying, not only for the church in Ephesus, but he was praying for each and every single one of us too, that we would come to this understanding, that we would know, that we know, that we know. So it wouldn't just be words on a page. It would literally transform who we are. his incomparably great power for us who believe. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Let me say that a second. The same power that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Why do I know this? Because it said earlier you were sealed with the Holy Spirit. That same power is at your disposal. That same power is available to you. That same power was what we prayed over the person who was healed this week. The same power. Seated with him in the heavenly realms. Sit with that for a second. Positionally, you were with him when you come to a relationship with Jesus Christ. You're literally seated at the adult table. Thanksgiving, people. You're not at the kid table anymore. You're not on the outside looking in going, hey, what do you got over there? You got drumsticks? You're seated at the king's table. You're with him. And literally everything has been placed under Christ's feet and under yours. Not so you can be a jerk, but so you understand who you are. So that when the enemy of your soul comes at you, you go, no, 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 no. You're at the feet of Jesus. You don't get to bring that garbage to me anymore. I don't have to listen to your trash. That's under the feet of Christ. Positionally, I sit with him. So talk to my dad. This is the view from our bay window. Hashtag blessed. The church bought this property in the 70s, I believe. And to the right of this picture is Hook Mountain. It's hard to see through the leaves. You can see it in the winter. But behind the houses, there's a path. And I made the mistake one day of taking my niece Anna on that path. And now every day I come home, she's like, Uncle Jeffrey, you want to walk the path? You want to walk the path? And then she found out that it's just part of the path. The path takes you all the way up to the top of the mountain. And she's like, let's walk the whole path today, Uncle Jeffy. And I'm a human, so I go, no, let's not do that. But one day I was like, all right, I'm not going to tell this girl no anymore. We're going to go. So we walked the path, and it was like this. And for a lot of it, you're walking, and it's not like that, but you get to this section, it's like really, really swampy. And I notice it, and I pick her up, and I start to carry her, and I realize there is nowhere around me that's solid ground, none. And my shoes that were not my dirty ones are now my dirty ones. And I'm like, there we go. And can I just tell you, so many different things were hitting me in that moment. I was getting slammed with all these different illustrations, all these different thoughts. And this came to me. The Holy Spirit is knee-deep with you in whatever crap you find yourself in. And if you need to alter that word to make it more stronger, do it. He is knee-deep with you in whatever you find yourself in. Yes, the Lord Jesus is sitting on his throne, preparing a place for you, but he gave us the Holy Spirit to walk with us. He did not leave you alone. So whatever circumstance you're experiencing today, good or bad, Jesus is with you. This is the reason why those who come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ have H-O-P-E, hope. We don't have just hope for tomorrow after we die. We have hope for today because the God who created it all cared enough about us to walk with us, knee-deep in whatever thing we find ourselves in. If that doesn't transform your life, I give up. Hashtag blessed. That is the true meaning of this word. You are not being blessed. You are blessed. And I know every single Sunday we have some kind of action, some kind of response, some kind of action step that we want you to live out. in the power of the Holy Spirit, this is the one for this morning. You are blessed. That's it. I want us to sit and soak in that. I don't want us to run out the store and go, oh, that was a great word. I want this. I pray that the eyes of your heart would get this. And I pray that the eyes of my heart would get this. And I pray that we would get it, and 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 we would get it, so that it changes who we are. If we really understood what it meant to be blessed, then our lives will reflect it, and then we will be a blessing. And then it doesn't matter if somebody thanks us or not, because their words don't change who we are. God's do. Let me pray for you. Lord Father, I thank you. I thank you for what you've done, are doing, and will do. I'm so thankful that you stepped into earth, space, and time that you created to experience what we go through, that you chose to do that you chose to walk with us, that you chose to have a relationship with us. Let us not leave this room this morning without allowing that to affect who we are. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. I don't think our setting up what we did here this morning was a coincidence that it is the first Sunday of the month, because on the first Sunday of the month, we practice communion here at Living Christ Church, where we sit and we reflect and remember what God has done for us. And we do that through taking these elements, the bread and the juice. The bread represents the body of Christ. And the night before he died, he took that bread, he broke it, and he gave it to those that were following him and said, "This is my body given for you." They didn't know it at the time. It might have seemed very, very strange for them in the moment, but in a couple days, it would make a whole lot of sense to them. And then likewise, he took the wine and he said, "This is my blood shed for you." It's not a coincidence that in the Old Testament, it said life is in the blood, and then he willingly gave his blood for you and for me, where he shed life to give us life. And in that moment, they probably thought, wow, this is a weird, what are you talking about? What do you mean this is your body? What do you mean this is your blood? We're not those kind of people. 3 days later, it clicked. And 2,000 years later, we get to remember what Jesus did for us. So as the elders